Hello and welcome to Pardis from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardis Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardis alum. This week, B'Shalach, Shabbat Shira. This week, Shabbat Shira with Rabbi Daniel Landes. Rabbi Landes is the director of the Pardis Institute. And now, Rabbi Daniel Landes.
Thank you, Larry. This Shabbat is Shabbat of B'Shalach. Jews are leaving Egypt, and as they leave, and everything that takes place at the sea, and the great song that is sung, so therefore it's called, sung by the Jewish people, about their deliverance, called Shabbat Shira. It's a wonderful song. And the whole Shabbat is considered to be a wonderful day because of the song that is sung. One of the little shuls that I attended in my youth, followed the minhag of Europe. And in Europe, they didn't sing Pesukei Dezimra, the psalms that you have in the morning psalms. It wasn't really much of a singing congregation in general. But once a year on Shabbat Shira, the Shabbat of Parshat B'Shalach, when the Jews left and would come to Uz Yashir, they would always have this little guy, but he was a magnificent singer, and he'd belt out Uz Yashir in the melodious Torah tones, which were then echoed, just as they were echoed at the sea itself. They were echoed by members of the shul, and we made sure to get the shul early. After all, it's the early part of the service to hear it. So there's a great deal of affection that I have for Shabbat Shira. And speaking of affection, I want to give a Devar Torah partially based on that of a teacher of mine, Rebbe Umori, Rav Shmuel Chaim HaKohen Katz. Rebbe Katz was the Av Beitin, the head of the rabbinic court in Los Angeles. He was had studied in the great yeshivot. He was close to many of the great personages of Torah, a highly developed intellectual. Also attended graduate school at Columbia University, many things. But as a member of the Beit Din, he was both brilliant, not member, he was the head of the Beit Din, and I was part of his Beit Din, brilliant, but also kind, is the only way that I can say it. And therefore, I think about some of his Divrei Torah. May this be an aliyah, in a sense, for his spirit. And at the very beginning of the song, there's that introduction. Az Yashir Moshe Ovenei Yisrael Tashira Zot Vayomru Leimor. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel the song unto the Lord, and they spoke, saying Vayomru Leimor. And they spoke, saying. He also has this notion here where it says Oz at that moment. So, briefly, Chazal and the rabbi. Rabbi Katz didn't really talk about this, but I think it's a good introduction. But Yomru Leimor really has this notion with us. At that time, they sang and they say it. But Yomru Leimor, Rabbi Katz did point out, is that these are extra words. The rabbis point out they're kind of extra words. They sang the song. Why do you have to say Yomru Leimor? And they said this saying. After all, we already said they sang the song. And as you know, basic principle of rabbinic exegesis, understanding the Torah is no extra words, and therefore what I call, in the days of my arrogance, the Landes principle, is since there's no extra words, what do? The corollary? You search for the extra words, because extra words gives you meaning. So what's by Yomru Leimor? Well, because the saying will be constant possibility in Jewish history. That whenever a miracle takes place, us, at that moment, you have to sing the song. So therefore, there's a whole halachic discussion that they sang the song, not on the really on the banks, so much as they sang it while the miracle was happening as they were in the sea and how the sea parted. And they continued singing it when the sea overwhelmed the Egyptians. And that gives us a kind of a halachic principle that you have to sing during the miracle itself and you sing after the miracle to commemorate it. There's a whole question in Jewish law. For how long do you sing a song in commemoration? By song, we say like the Hallel, Like they had a great song of understanding and of preparation. That becomes a whole halacha conversation to itself. But nonetheless, you need to sing the song because there's a miracle. Shir LaHashem, we will sing to the Lord. But it says we're singing Oz Yashir VaYomru LeMor. That whenever you experience a miracle, you need to sing a song of gratitude, the Shirat Hayam, the song at the sea, the song through the sea, the saying of Hallel. We do Hallel on the holidays because of the great miracles. We sing Hallel in commemoration of the establishment of the state in the state of Israel in terrible times. There are those of us who sing it for the Yom Yerushalayim, that terribly difficult moment in 67, but the great miracle of Jerusalem coming back to us. And therefore, Kriyat Yam Suf, the splitting of the Dead Sea, that splitting of it, the most difficult issue to take place, a true miracle. It's even referred to as the prime example of a Nes Goloi, a revealed miracle. The miracle's standing us in our face. We should know how to be able to sing this. And then Rabbi Katz brings it to everyday life. And he told us a great story from Yisrael Salanter. Yisrael Salanter was the charismatic, although humble, wonderful beginner of the ethical movement, Musar movement in the 1800s in Europe. A great, great scholar and respected for that and feared for his abilities there, but greatly loved for the type of person he was. A man comes to him, a wealthy man, a merchant comes to him, and this merchant is in terrible, terrible pain. And he says, Rabbi Israel, my master Israel, my ship, everything that I have in the world, I have ventured on the merchandise on that ship. I just received a wire that the place of the ocean in which that ship is under a terrible threat of a hurricane. If I lose that ship, I lose everything. And the rabbi, Rabbi Israel, calmed him and says, you cannot despair. A Jew can never despair. We have a great God in heaven. You have faith in the Almighty. And the captain, the Kavranit, the captain of the world, he'll steer your ship to a safe shore. Several days later, 2 days later, this man receives a telegram, and he runs with it to the rabbi, and he says, yes, yes, the ship weathered the hurricane, the typhoon. I see there is a God in heaven. The day before, I thought that I had lost everything, that I was poor without anything because I lost everything, and now I have to say I'm a wealthy man, and I'm a wealthy man again. Rabbi Yisrael, who never missed, Yisrael Salanter never missed a moment from the educational moment, said, well, you know, this is really the difference, you had it in your words, the difference between being rich and poor. The rich, when do they say there's a God in heaven? Maybe once in a lifetime like you, when there is this incredible deal and there's incredible danger and everything hinges on how God will respond and what will take place. But you know, so the rich person sees there's a God in heaven, hopefully, thankfully, maybe once in their lifetime, maybe twice. But the poor man sees God every day. He has no money for breakfast, but somehow he gets breakfast together. He has no money to make a Shabbos for his family, but somehow he gets it together. Each time he knows there's a God in heaven. And this, in the Talmud Pesachim 118a, look it up, and says that the parnasa of a person, a person's livelihood. By livelihood, we're not talking about what they're putting in the Swiss bank. We're not talking about their hedge fund. We're talking about their parnasa, taking care of their family. This is as difficult to provide and as miraculous when it's provided as the dividing of the Red Sea. So the poor person sings all the time. And for the poor person, there is a capacity. Listen, Jewish tradition doesn't teach you or want you to be poor. It's really the opposite. Wants you to work and wants you to get out of that situation. But this consciousness of being dependent upon God is a consciousness that should not be able to leave us. Rabbi Katz would always, and I've heard this this discussion several times from him. He would always bring back something which we used to do on Shabbat Shira. We always used to put out kasha for the birds, buckwheats for the birds, cooked buckwheat or just even raw buckwheat for the birds. They always talked about the birds being there and singing at the yam. So on Shabbat Shira, this parsha, we would always put out, and you know, even in Chicago where there was plenty cold, the birds were very happy and the birds would chirp when they would take it. But there was what's the beginning of this minhag, of this custom? Well, because regarding the man, the manna, which is exactly talked about exactly after the Song of the Sea, and is connected to the Song of the Sea. The manna is given, perpetual food is given to the Jewish people, 6 days during the 40 years in the desert. 6 days you shall gather it, says in Exodus 16:26. But the seventh day is the Shabbos, there will be none. And two troublemakers, Dathan and Aviram, which you may remember from the movie The Ten Commandments, but you can also find it in the original book, Dathan and Aviram, they're always out there trying to show that Moshe is wrong. And what they did that night is they kept some old manna from Friday, and Friday night they put it out so that Saturday the people should see that actually, no, Moses is wrong, and there's also manna on Saturday. What's manna, not having it on Saturday? It's the notion of being dependent and being dependent upon God. So, no, you don't have to be so dependent. The manna is a natural phenomenon. The manna is a natural phenomenon. You don't have to be dependent upon God. And they said, go out and see. You will see there's manna out there. But in the meantime, the birds ate it that night. That night, the birds ate the kasha, they ate the buckwheat. And that's why it says, so it came to pass on the seventh day, verse 27. And they were sent out some of the people to gather, and they found there was no manna because Dathan and Aviram's purpose to thwart Moshe's teaching of Torah came to naught. And as reward for the birds' good deeds, we feed them the kasha. So it's like the birds, Rabbi Katz would say, gave a real musar shir, shmooze, a real talk of ethical exhortation to Dathan and Aviram, all these people who lack real faith in God. You are fools, the birds are telling you. Listen to the birds. They are fools. You waste precious time whether you have enough or not enough. You're never happy with what you have. We birds, the birds sing. We don't have a roof over our heads. We don't have ground under our feet. We don't have a parnas and income coming in. But you know what? God doesn't forsake us, and we sing. Why don't you learn to sing, rejoice your portion, Rabbi Katz would say, and rely on God. So this is the reason we feed the birds, we watch them eat heartily, we join in their song, Uz Yashir, we sing for the miracles, the great miracles, the miracles of splitting of the sea, Nes Goli, the revealed miracles that already are in front of us, and also the Nes Nistar, the miracles that seem to be more hidden, our daily parnasa, our daily sustenance, which God says, you know, it's not simple to get, not simple to do, but when you sing for it, and when you appreciate it, well, it's all the more sweeter, it's all the more in coming, and that is what this Shabbos is about. I hope that we all have a wonderful Shabbat. May the memory of Rabbi Katz, my teacher, my master, may that memory grow even stronger. Let's sing this Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom, and again, thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi Landes. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.